Begin the current daf, Masechet Zevach of Daf Lamed Daled. Begin 11 lines down with the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues with one of the three halachas we taught in the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara says, Gufa, there was three different teachings that Rish Lakish learned out of the Pasuk, but Chol Kodesh Leisiga. And says the Gemara, quoting one of the three halachas, which was the last one that we mentioned, from the extra word, Bachol Kodesh, Gufa, Tamei She'achol Basar Kodesh Lefnei Zrika, regarding a person that is richly impure, he himself is Tamei, that ate the meat of a carbon before the blood of the carbon was thrown. Meaning, even when generally the meat of the carbon is eaten, it's only after the blood was thrown. Now, we're talking about he's Tamei, and the Tamei is not allowed to eat the meat of a carbon, but it's talking about before the blood was thrown. And that we have the Machlekes, Rabbi Yechon, Rish Lakish, who mentioned in the previous daf. Rish Lakish Amalek, he says the person gets lashes for having consumed the carbon in a state of impurity. Rabbi Yechon Amar Ein Lek, he says the person does not get lashes. And we explained the reason for their Machlekes on the previous daf on the top of this Amid. Now, regarding their machlekes, Amar Abaye, he qualifies and he says that it seems specifically that their machlekes is only regarding, in this case of the carbon before the blood was thrown, when the person is tamei, but the meat was tar. On that, Amar Abaye, so he qualifies and he says, machlekes betumas aguf. The machlekes was, between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, was when the kain himself was tamei in his body. That's what Rabbi Yechon says, that he's not going to get lashes, because as we taught in the top of this Amid, that Rabbi Yechonin knows the teaching from Tumasai Tumasai. He says, where do we know of this prohibition? We know from Gezeirah Shava, where it says Tumasai by someone who's tummy and goes into the base of Migdash. Where just like over there, it's Anash V'Hizr. Not only does the Torah say a punishment, but it also says a prohibition. So too, how do we know there's Azhara for someone that's tummy to eat from Kaidish? It doesn't say Azhara in the Torah, it says only in Einish. And that, because just like over there, it says Tumasai and it's not only is there a punishment, but there's an azara here also, where it says the word tamasai. Not only is there a einish, there's also going to be an azara. But as we taught, as we explained from Rashi in the top of the summit, what essentially that means to say is, but now that we know that it's going to have azara, what's the qualification of the azara? Just like of the qualification of the einish, and just like the einish, as the Gemara Menachas of Chafei Mebeis says, is only after the blood was thrown, because that's as the pasuk says, kol tari yechol basar. When does a tar eat the meat? Only after the blood was thrown. That's when the pasuk says "Vanefesh hashatechel basar," that if someone is impure and eats it, he's going to get punished. So therefore, the azhar is going to have the same qualification, that it's only going to be that of getting lashes, which is when one violates a negative prohibition, is only going to be after the blood was thrown. Now that's an understanding only in the halacha that we describe when he has tumas aguf and the meat is tar. Avabatumas basar, but says abaya. But let's say when a tahar person eats the meat of the carbon that's tamei, where there the azhara is written explicitly in the pasuk that it says v'abasa sheyiga b'chol tamei. It says in the pasuk explicitly that we don't need to learn that from tumasi tumasi. That says that if the meat became tamei, lo yaychel, it should not be eaten. Says Abaya, there diriakol like there even Rabbi Yechon would agree that the person eating it before the blood was thrown, if the meat is tamei and he himself is tar, is going to get lashes. Why? Because the amakra, the pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Zayin pasuk Yotes, it says. The full pasuk says va'basar sheyiga b'chol tamei, that we quoted that the meat which is going to touch anything that's become to come tamei, so the meat now of the carbon becomes tamei, lo ya'echol, it should not be eaten, but eishi sarva should be burnt in the fire, va'habasar, and the meat kol tar yechol basar, whoever's tar eats it, but again, but tamei not. Now the word va'habasar there at the end of the pasuk seems to be superfluous. We already said va'habasar. What's repeating the word va'habasar again? Says the Gemara, L'rabbis eitzim levayin, and that's coming to include that even for the wood that's used in the Mizbeach and for the frankincense, where if they themselves become tamei, which even though these are not things that are generally eaten, these are things that are burnt on the Mizbeach, but there's a halachic concept known as chibas kodesh. The endearment of it being things of kachim is what prepares it and makes it like a food item. So although that the lav b'nei achila ninu, although they're not edible food items, and still, the pasuk includes them to say that they're going to have the prohibition of if their tummy and a tar person eats it, that they're going to get the lashes. So therefore, says Abaya, Rabbi Yechon would agree over here that meat before the Zrikas Adam is not any less than a piece of wood or frankincense. If those things are not even things that are generally eaten, they will have the halacha of tama in the thing itself and get lashes. So the meat, lefnei zrika, regarding it itself, that it, if it's tummy and the tar person eats it, for sure it's going to get lashes. Rabbi Yechon says, you're not going to get lashes lefnei zrika, it's only regarding when he's tummy and the item is tar. Now, on that, Rav Amar, he disagrees. He says the exact opposite. He says, Machlekes betumas aguf. Yeah, like we said in the previous Gemara, that Machlekes, Rabbi Yechon Shlakish, is when the person himself is tamei, and the meat of the carbon, which is still before the blood was thrown, is tar. That's where they had the Machlekes, if the person who eats it gets lashes or not. But Thomas Basar, he says, but if the meat itself is tamei, devri akol ain't a look. He says, everyone agrees, even Rish Lakish, that the one who eats is not going to get lashes. My time, what's the reason? So the reason is that there are two psukim near each other, where therefore, because of the smichas ha-psukim, because of its proximity, they get compared. The halacha of Thomas Basar that we just quoted regarding when the meat itself is tamei is near the pasuk of the punishment of Thomas Haguf, where it says, Va'nefesh ha-shoteich al-basar, and the person that, if he himself is tamei, is going to eat from the meat, which, as we explained previously from Yechanan, that's talking about, as everyone holds, regarding the einish, is la'achar zrikas damim. So therefore, it says Rav as follows, Kivin delay karina bay, since before the blood is thrown, we cannot qualify what the pasuk says over there, v'tumasay alav v'nechra, so that if the person has tumas aguf, that he gets karis, because before zrikas adam, there's no karis. So therefore, lekarina bay, so therefore, neither do we then qualify the pasuk before it, which is the smichas apsukim, which is not regarding when he himself is tamei, but when the meat, v'habasa she'iga b'chol tamei lo ya'achel, where the meat which touches anything that tamei should not be eaten, that gets the same qualification. That's where the psukim are near each other. So just like we know regarding tumas haguf of the person who's eating it is only achazrika, so too regarding the halacha of the iser of tumas basar is also only achazrika. And therefore, says Rava, actually even Rish Lakish would agree that they're not going to get lashes regarding the tumas habasar before the zrikas of the dam. No, that the Gemara asks, but Vamamar. But the master of the Brayis has said, which was brought in the qualification of Abaye's understanding of the Machloik, is that says Vabasar, it says in the Pasuk, the meat, regarding the halacha of Tumas Basar. What's the extra word Vabasar? L'rabbis ate some levina, to include even wood and frankincense that there, if those items are tummy and the person eats it, he's going to get punished. He's going to get malchus. Now, as we said, the meat of the Basar before the Zrikas Dam is not any less than a piece of wood. So there for sure, it should be Malkus. How are you saying that everyone holds that it's not going to get Malkus? Says the Gemara, Hachamai Skin, what are we talking about over here in that Braisa? It's Kigun Shekidshu Bekli. We're talking about where those Eitim Levain were sanctified in a service vessel in the Beis HaMikdash. So for example, the wood was shoveled with the Machta, which is one of the Klei Sharis in the Beis HaMikdash, from the Mizbeach with the coals, which is where the wood was put on the pyre on the Mizbeach. And the Levina was sanctified in the Bezichim, which are the special shovels that were used to hold the frankincense, where actually it fits exactly into the qualification of Rava, because there, even regarding if the Kohen has Tumas Aguf and consumes it, he'll get Karis. So therefore, yeah, that would have the same qualification for the Eitzim and Levina. Why? What does that mean? So why isn't Basilef Nezrika any less than that? Why doesn't that get lashes? Because Zinasa Kamisha Korvukol Matirov. Regarding the Eitz and Levina, since they don't have Matirin are the things that permit the remnants to be eaten, since these things don't have Matirin, so it's as if the Matirin were already sacrificed, hence, the Eitz and Levina are like La'achazrika. So in a sense, it's actually, yeah, better than Basel of Nezrika. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah, which is brought later on, Perek B'Shamadav Mem Gil Mamed Aleph, regarding Tumas Aguf, when the individual has his own tummy on his body. So the Mishnah says over there, Kol Sheyesh Lematirin, whatever has permitters, meaning those permitters permit the thing to be eaten, so then the liability for the item having tuma will be Mishikarvu Matirov. When the permitters have already been sacrificed, like we're saying, for example, in the regarding to the basar of a carbon, it's when the blood is already thrown. That's when the tumah in the item will then give the punishment for lashes, like Rav is saying. But kosher ein loy matirin, whatever does not have permitters, like eitz and levina, those things don't have things that permit it, because it's not even things that are generally eaten. So there, mishakidish bekli, once it's sanctified in the vessel, which is the way Rav is qualifying the halacha of that braisa, then it's already like karvah matir, like it's already like bas lachas rikas damim, which is what permits the meat to be eaten. Oh, there, that would have the halacha of if tumas aguf getting karvah of eating it, and so too for the thing itself having tumah, then the one who eats it will get the lashes. But again, that does not contradict what Rav is saying in the case of tumas basar, lefnez rikas damim, where it was not karvah matir, then the halacha will be compared to Tumas Aguf, where there's no karis lefnei zrika. So to the item itself being tame, everyone agree, Rish Lakish, that it's not going to be lashes. Another machlekes, unrelated machlekes between Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. Itma, we learned, continuing on the topic of our mesechta, Hamala Avery Behema Tamei Agabe Mizbech. If someone puts the limbs of a non-kosher animal on the Mizbech, from a horse, from a camel, so Rish Lakish Amalek, he says the person gets lashes. Rabbi Yechanan in the like, he says the person does not get lashes. So what's the understanding of the Machlekes? So the Gemara says, Rish Lakish Amalek, he says the person gets lashes. Why? Because Torah in. And the Torah only says, Min HaBakar or Min HaTzayin Takrivu. From kosher animals, it says you could sacrifice them as Be'ach. Temei Eloi, non-kosher animals not. And V'lav HaBo Mechlal Lasei, and a negative prohibition which is inferred from a positive commandment, meaning it says, bring kosher. The inference is, but not non-kosher. So the negative prohibition that's inferred from a positive commandment, like in love, you get lashes for that, like a regular negative prohibition. Rabbi Yechanan ain't like in love. It says, no, there's no lashes. Why? Because lava ba machlal say, a negative prohibition, meaning that's inferred from a positive commandment, which doesn't say straight out don't, but we can infer from when it says yes, what not, ain't like in love, you don't get lashes, not like an explicit negative prohibition, and therefore you're not going to get lashes. Now, Maisiv Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked on this interpretation, specifically on that of Rish Lakish, from the following pasuk in Vayikra. The pasuk there says that with regarding a kosher animal, it has to be mafresas parsa umalas gerah. It has to be split hooves and that it chews its cud. Now, on that, the pasuk says, oisa sechelo, that's what you should eat. Now, v'loi behemet tameya, the inference is, but not a non-kosher animal. V'lav abo mechlal asei asei, and the negative prohibition inferred from the positive commandment is a positive commandment. That's how it's taught in the Braisa, because the conclusion of the Braisa actually says, and how do we know that there's even a negative prohibition to eat a non-kosher animal? Oh, that's what the Pasuk teaches, achezel oisechele, because this you should not eat. So obviously from the fact that, as the Braisa points out, that the Pasuk has to bring a negative prohibition after that, obviously because the inferred negative prohibition from the positive commandment of what kosher is not going to give a punishment of Malkus. So you see, not like Rish Lakish. So on that, I'm like Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyah, about Tachlifa, he says, you're right. Ashbalach, I'll explain to you as follows. Be'evrei behebe tamei, regarding putting on non-kosher limbs on the Mizbeach, the kulam alei pligi, no one's going to disagree that at most it's a positive commandment, meaning because it's violating the positive commandment that says only kosher, which the inference is not non-kosher, and not more than that. You're right. Rish Lakish is not going to say that you're going to get lashes. Ki pligi b'chai, you want to know what their machlekes was regarding putting on the limbs of a wild animal that's kosher, but it's not a behemoth, it's not a domesticated animal. And the machlekes was not regarding lashes, but rather, is that a violation of a positive commandment? Moreover, that to switch around the attribution of the opinions of Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, that was the tradition that Rabbi Yaakov had. And they said, and this is how the machlekes was said. Rabbi Yechanan Amar says, if someone puts on the limbs of a chaya, he violates the positive commandment. Rish Lakish says, no, he doesn't violate anything, as the Gemara explains. Says that the person violates a positive commandment because behemain, the Torah says, the examples it gives in the Torah is bakar, vitzain, which are domestic animals, and chayaloi, not a wild animal. So that's violating the positive commandment. Rish Lakish you're not violating anything because ahula mitzvah. This that it says in the Torah to bring a behema is a positive commandment to sacrifice that. But a chaya is rishus, is voluntary, just not a mitzvah. Now, however, regarding a non-kosher animal, like the Gemara is concluding, most definitely is not permitted, because it says in the Pasuk, as the Gemara expounds it in Menachas Davav Med Aleph, Mimashki Yisrael, that what type of animals do you bring for a carbon, has to be for something that's permitted for a Jewish person to consume, which, therefore, that excludes a non-kosher animal. But the Machlokes Gesus regarding a chaya, is that going to violate a positive commandment or not? That the Gemara still continues in Meisav Rava. Now, in this interpretation, Rava still asks on the opinion of Rish Lakish. He says from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Ilu Nemer, had the Pasuk said in Vayikra, and this is in Perek Aleph, where it says, Korban Lashem Behema, that it's a korban for Hashem, you should bring a domesticated animal. And let's say it had not said Bakr Vitzayin, which is cattle and flock. So Hayisim, I would have said, Chaya B'chla Behema. That when it says to bring a carbon from behema, that actually includes chaya, undomesticated animals. Why? In Yitzchak, like we find a different pasuk in Devarim. The pasuk says, "Zois habehema asher techelu." These are the animals that you should eat, and you use the word behema. And what does the pasuk say? Shur, an ox. Okay, that's a behema. Se chasavim b'seizim. There's the sheep of lamb and the sheep of goats. Fine, those are behemoths. And the pasuk continues and says, Ayil a hart, v'tzvi and a deer, v'gem, etc., which those are chayos, those are undomesticated animals. And still it calls it behemoth. So I would have thought when the Torah says to bring a carbon from behemoth, it means even chayos. Says the Brisa, Tamalema Bakar B'tzayin. That's what it says, cattle and flock. Which tells you, Bakar B'tzayin Amartilach, what did I tell you to bring from cattle and flock? V'loi chayah, and not a wild animal. Now, and that continues the Brisa. So Yachal lo Yavi, you would think, okay, fine, you should not bring. But Vimhevi Kasher, but if B'di'evit, if after the fact one did bring a chayah as a carbon, it would be valid. And that says the Brisa, because Halamaza Zedam, because what would we think that would be compared to? To a student that his teacher told him, bring me wheat. And he brought wheat and barley. We wouldn't think that's violating his words. That's adding on, doing more than what he's asking, and therefore would be valid. So to hear when the Torah says behema, and it means, okay, behema, and he brings behema and the chaya. So we think that would be valid. Therefore, it says a second time in the psukim over there, bakar v'tzayin, because it says, first of all, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzayin takrivu. And then it says again, emoli l'karbanai, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzayin karbanai, min ha-chsavim. So it says twice, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzayin, which is to tell you why I'm repeating it again. Bakar v'tzayin amartilach, v'loi chayin, no, only cattle and flock, and not a wild animal. So halamaza daimer, so what can you compare to now that it's repeating it a second time? Is Latamash Amalei Rabbi, to a student that his teacher told him, Al tovi li elechit, don't bring me anything else but wheat. Veheva lechit misa'ir, and then he brings wheat and barley. That's not adding on. El kamam v'aldavar, that's violating, because he says, no, I don't want anything else. I only want wheat. And therefore, as the Gemara continues to make base, upasal, and therefore it would be invalid. But one thing says the Gemara, to you, if the Rish Lakish, refutes Rish Lakish, who he said that a chaya is not kamav al devarav, it's kamaisav al devarav, it's reshus. And here you see in the Brisa clearly that no, it's actually going to be pasul and not just permitted to yufta. It's a refutation clearly of the opinion of Rish Lakish, and rather like Rabbi Yechanan, that if someone brings a chaya, he's over the mitzvah asay of bringing a behema, and instead he brought a chaya, which is not valid even by the evid. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. We said v'kulan and all the individuals that are invalid, that are pasul to do that vaidam, Shekiblu v'chul, if they did the receiving of the blood with a machshava of psul, of shaloi lizma, of chutz lizmanoi, of chutz lemkaimai. So then the Mishnah said, that's not valid, and neither is his machshava going to make an invalidation of the remaining blood. So therefore the Mishnah said, yachzar kosher v'yakabu, so let the kosher kain go back to the neck of the animal. If there's more blood over there, receive the blood, and then go ahead and do his rika, and he could do the vaidu with the remaining blood in the neck. It did not become invalidated by the machshava of the pasul because he's not able to do the vaidu, so therefore his machshava is not going to invalidate. Now, on that says the Gemara, related to the question. Vayimene Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechanan, he says, pasul, regarding that we were just describing that category, someone that's pasul to do the vaidu, a zar, a woman, and other individuals that are not able to do the vaidu, that did the vaidu, received the blood. Mahu shayasa shirayim. What's the halacha? If he received the blood and he threw the blood, does he go and make the remnants of the blood in the neck of the animal into leftovers? In other words, the question essentially is, what's the halacha? Could a kosher kohen go now, because since the avodah of that pasul did not have any efficacy at all, could a kosher kohen go back to the neck of the animal, receive the blood and throw it, and thus validate the carbon? Do we say that since that pasul threw the blood already, so he made the remaining blood in the neck into shirayim, which is leftovers, and if it's not valid anymore, like any leftovers of the blood, to throw it? Or maybe, no, the effectiveness, the utility of the pasul when he threw the blood didn't do anything to remaining blood in the neck of the animal to make it into shirayim because it was not qualifying as a zirika of effectiveness, and therefore the kasha could go back to the neck of the animal and receive the blood and throw it again. So Amaleh, Rabbi Yechanan said to him, Ein, you do not have a zrika that's pasul that will be isis shirayim that will make the remaining blood into leftovers. Ella, only a throwing that's with a machshava of chutz lezmanai v'chutz lemkaimai. Meaning, when someone does the avayda, that when he's throwing the blood, that it should be eaten or burnt beyond its time, beyond its place, that's called a zrika psula. It's not a valid zrika because it's done with a machshava of psul. That's where it's going to make the leftover blood into shirayim, excluding the case that we're describing, when it's a pasul doing a regular zrika, that his zrika is psula, he's not going to make the blood in the neck shirayim because it didn't qualify at all as a zrika. But here, when he does it with a machshava of chutz zman chutz mekaymai, when it's a zrika psula, it will qualify as a zrika and thus make the blood in the next shiraim that one cannot do a new kabbalah and zrika with it. Why? What's the difference? Hayil, since ultimately the zrika that was done by the kohen with a machshava of pigal is halachically, biblically qualified as a zrika. Where do we find that? Because umiratza lipigulai, it goes and qualifies it into a pigal. Pigal only happens when one does all the avaidas, and that one or more many of the avaidas were done with a machshava of pigal. That then disqualifies it and makes it sit into pigal, and disqualifies it. So we see the halachically, although it's puzzle, but the Torah considers it like a zrika. And then it's going to make the shirayim, the blood left over in the neck into shirayim. So that's because the Torah qualifies it, although pasul, as a zrika. In contrast, when the regular pasul does zrika, it's like nothing, and the blood in the neck is not going to become shirayim, and yachzar kasher b'kabel, like we said the halacha in our Mishnah. Now that's one version. Rav Zvid Masnihachi, he taught a different version. He says, b'yim ne'er shlokish m'b'yichnon, not that regular apostle ma'u shriyasa shrayim, where if you read it that way, it means a person that's pasul. Rather, he said, kais pasul, a cup of blood of the animal that's invalid. How's that? For example, if let's say they received the blood and then it was taken out of the perimeter of where the blood of the carbon is allowed to be, thus disqualifying that blood. And that the question was, ma'u shriyasa, what will it make the blood remaining in the neck of the animal into shrayim? Meaning, if let's say a kosher kohen will go ahead and throw this blood, the question is, will we say that there will not be any more room for rectification for this carbon for a kosher kohen to go and take the blood of the neck and go ahead and throw it over again or not? Do we say that this kais pasul goes ahead and is qualified as a zrika, albeit invalid, and therefore will make the rest shrayim or not? So on that, Omalei, Rabbi Yochanan responded to me, says, wait a second. You're asking me regarding a kais pasul, when then they throw the blood with it, which obviously is not valid. But you're wondering, but ultimately blood was thrown in it. If that's the case, it makes the rest to be shrayim, because you already did a zrika, but it's pasul. So you wanted to know, is it going to make the blood in the neck shrayim or not? On that, he said to him, O pasul gofei, but what's with a person himself that's pasul, that throws the blood, which was the case of the previous version's question? My svirlach, what do you hold over there regarding the blood in the neck of the animal becoming shrayim, where you didn't ask? You wanted to know only regarding the blood that's pasul. What's with the person that's pasul? And that's Rabbi Yochanan. Well, either way how you hold over there, you can have the same answer regarding your case. E pasul mashvi shrayim is if you hold that by a person that's pasul, when he throws the blood, like a czar or a woman, that's going to make the blood in the neck shrayim. So kais pasul na mashvi shrayim. So that's the same thing. The blood of a cup, that blood is pasul because it was taken, what's called psul yaitse, out of the area of the perimeter, and it's thrown, will also make it shrayim. And the pasul lo mashvi shrayim. And if you hold that the individual whose pasul does not make the blood in the neck shrayim, so kais pasul namel mashvi shrayim will also not make a shrayim. It has the same halacha. But the fact that you're not asking me from the pasul himself, obviously you know that answer. So then the same will be regarding the case you're describing of the kais pasul. Now, Yirmi medifte masni hachi. He taught as follows. He says, "Bayimene abayi miraba." Similar question, but different. That the question was kais. Regarding a cup of blood, so for example, a karban chatas, which its blood was received in two different cups, and then all the matanais, which are the throwings of the bloods of the karban chatas, were done from one of the cups, and they didn't even end up using the blood in the other cup. So the question was, ma'u shayasa es chaver, what's the halacha regarding making the other cup? Does it make it into dachai, rejected, a shirayim, or into remnants? In other words, the other cup, do we say it's shirayim because it's the leftover blood from the blood that was received, and therefore, like any leftover bloods, like when you have it in one cup, in one bowl, and you do the zrikas and you have leftover in that bowl, the leftover gets spilled into the yisoy, to the foundation of the mizbech, like it says in the pasuk of Yukar Dal Veskal Adam Yishafich, gets poured onto the bottom of the mizbech, or do we qualify it as dochi, as rejected? And it was actively rejected because they decided to do all the zrikas only from this cup and not from that cup. Where there the halacha is that since you didn't do it on any of the corners of the mizbech from it, actually what you do with that blood is you don't even pour it into the yisayda mizbech. You pour it into the amma, the canal that's in the yazar, in the courtyard, which takes the blood out to Nachal Kidron, and then it's sold to some gardeners to use as fertilizer. Because in a sense, it's not really shirayim, it wasn't even used at all. The blood wasn't thrown from it to be the remnants. From this cup, they didn't use it at all, so it's like rejected. Then it doesn't even get poured on the mizbech, and then they get spilled out. What's halacha? Is it shirayim or is it dichur? So that on Malay, Rabbi said to Abaya, plukta Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbanan. It's a machlekes tanaim between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the Rabbanan. The time we learned the Brisa. The Brisa says, Lamala, earlier in the parsha, who Emer, it says in the pasuk by the sar of the nasi, when the king does an avera, he brings a special he-goat. Special carbon he has to bring, unlike a regular individual. Where then it talks about when regarding after the avodah was done, the leftovers of the blood, the shirayim, the pasuk says in Yikra, as dama yishafich, the blood is spilled out on the yisayid, the foundation of the mizbeach. Now, it doesn't say kol dama, it says bez dama, and it's blood. Now, in contrast, lamata, later on the parasha, when it talks about the chatzis of a yachid, when a regular individual does a sin and he brings a karma chatzis, the pasuk says, regarding its shirayim, says, ves kol dama yishavach, and all its blood, using the word kol, gets spilled out on the foundation of the mizbeach. So how does that turn out? Why does it one pasuk say its blood, meaning not all of it, the other one says all of its blood? So explains the braisa. Minayin lechatos shekibul dama ba'arba kareses. What do we know regarding a karmachatos? Where if, let's say, they're catching all the blood from the neck, and instead of catching it in one bowl, they catch the blood in four different cups. V'nosin matana achas mizen. Now, regarding the karmachatos, there's blood that's put on each one of the four corners, which is done with the finger of the kain. Now, v'nosin matana achas mizen. One gift of the blood, which on one corner of the zeh was taken from this cup. Matana achas mizen, one was taken from this cup. And that is from each cup, one zrika is done from that cup on one corner of the mizbech. So says the Brisa, from where do we know, shekula nishbach and leisa, that in that situation, all those cups, its remnants, its shirayim, will be spilled to the foundation of the mizbech. Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk teaches when it says, bez kol dam yishavach, and all its blood will be spilled out on the yisoid. Now that continues the Brisa, relating to the other pasuk. Now, Yachal, you would think, Nosin Arba Matanis Mikais Echad, that if, let's say, they took all the four gifts, all the four Zrikas of the Karmachatas from one of the cups, and they didn't touch the other three cups, you would think, you cool Nishbach and they said that even in that situation, the blood will still be, all of them will be poured to the foundation of the Mizbeach. Tamalem, that's what the other Pasuk teaches, Vez Dame, and that it's blood. Says the Brisa Sahal Ketzad, what does that mean? Hu Nishbach Li Yisait. Only that one cup that all the four zrikas were taken from it, it gets spilled to the foundation of the mizbeach because its remnants are considered shirayim. But v'hein nishbachin la'ama. But the other three cups, they all get spilled out to the canal, because what that answers the question, according to this opinion of the Rabbanan, is because one cup makes the other cups into dochoy, rejected. It wasn't used at all. It's rejected. It's not shirayim, and therefore it's going to get spilled out. In contrast, Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon Omer, he says that no, it makes it shirayim. Because he learns the two pesukim as follows. He says, "Minayin lechatas shekibul dama ba'arba kaisas." From where do we know regarding karmachatas, where its blood was received in four different cups? V'nasin dal matanis mekais echad. And even though if all the four gifts are taken from one of the cups and didn't touch the other three, shekula nishbachin liyisai, that actually all of them get spilled out to the foundation. Tamalame quotes the pasuk. It says, "Ves kol dama yishavech." All the blood gets spilled out to the yisai. Even the other three that weren't touched, because he holds it does make it into shirayim, which we see as a machlokes tanaim. But the Gemara asks, but v'oksib ves dami yishafech, what does he do with the other pasuk? It says, its blood is spilled out, which sounds like not all its blood. What does that mean? Doesn't that mean the other three cups that weren't touched? And that Rav Ashi says, no, according to Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, who that pasuk is lemu'uti shirayim shebitzava behem, it's excluding the leftovers in the neck of the animal, where it becomes, quote, shirayim, has become leftovers, by the blood that was received, and that was not received, that automatically becomes shirayim, that blood is going to be spilled out to the amma, to the canal, that's not going to be poured on the yisrael mizbech. But whatever is received, those other cups that weren't touched, according to Blazim Shimon, not like Drabon, it's not dochi, rather, it's shirayim, and therefore, the question that was asked is a machloikis tanoi. Now the Gemara continues with the aloha of our Mishnah that continued and said, regarding psulim, that are related to the avaydis, so the Mishnah said, unlike the other cases, kibul ha-kosher, a kosher valid kain received the blood. The Kabbalah was done in a valid way. But then, v'nasin l'pasla v'chula, but then something intermediately was done, actually not by a kosher situation. where it was given to a non-Kohen, let's say, or a Tameh, or it was put into the left hand, or it was put into a Kli Chayil, but something in the middle was done inappropriately. So the Mishnah says, okay, just give it back to the Kasher, and then let the Avodah continue. Now, but says the Gemara, Tzricha, why was it necessary to say that all the different cases that is a rectification of then putting it back into a kosher situation? Says the Gemara, you needed to say a few different cases because the Yashmin apostle had to be only said the case of when it was given to a apostle. And then we said, okay, he didn't do anything. He was just like a platform. Just let it be given back to the kosher kayin and let him continue the halacha and the zrika. Is because, have a mean of my apostle, I would have thought to say, who do we mean that it's did not invalidate when it was given to an apostle? It refers to a tummy. A tummy person cannot do that vayda. And who do we mean when you meant apostle? Meant a tummy. Why would we say that that would be the case that would be valid? Because the chazi, because a kayin that's tummy, is actually kasher liketchila, even initially, lavaydis tzibur. In a situation when the tzibur needs to bring a carbon and they're all tummy, a kayin that's tummy could even initially do that vayda. That's why I would say regarding an individual, even though it's not valid, but it can be rectified by giving it back to a kasher kayin. Avol smalay loy, but if it's put into the left hand, where there it's never kasher liketchila by a carbon yachid, that there I would say actually that invalidates it. That's what I'd say, even by this smile, when it's put into the left hand, it just gets put back into the right hand and it's kosher. Now, v'yesh min esmal, had we even said the case of the left hand, I would say no, because the islay haksher b'yom kippurim, there is a situation that it is valid, specifically on yom kippurim, where the kohen gadol, when he's going into the holies of the holies, he takes the shovel with the coals in the right hand, and he takes the pan with the ketores in the left hand. So therefore, I would say there is a situation that the left is valid. So maybe that's why it does not totally invalidate it when it's put in the left hand. Ava kli chayil loy, but if it would be put into the third case of the Mishnah, into an unconsecrated vessel, there would not be valid, and it would actually invalidate it and cannot be put back into a kli sharis. That's what I have to say, that even over there, it's going to be valid. Now, v'yesh min kli chayil, had we only said the case of the unconsecrated vessel, I would say mishum nechazulik deshinu, because maybe it's actually better than the other cases, because ultimately, an unconsecrated vessel is at least fit to be sanctified and to be just like a regular kli sharis. Avahanach emaloi, but the other ones I would say that not. A zar cannot become a kayin. A woman cannot become a man. And the left hand cannot become the right hand. And therefore I would say there actually that it would be puzzle. Tzricha, that's what I have to say. All these cases that although they're puzzle, but they could be rectified by putting it back into the appropriate situation to then continue the avoida in the halacha and the zrika. But then the Gemara asked, but why? Why are these cases valid? They should be rejected because this is what's known in halacha as nira v'nitcha. It was valid, it was seen, it was visible to be used because it was received by a kosher kohen, but then it was rejected because it was put into the left hand, it was given to an apostle, it was put into a kli chayil. Why is there rectification by putting it back to then make it nira again when we know nira v'nitcha is rejects it? He qualified answering this question, the halacha of a Mishnah. He says, Hamani, who is the town of a Mishnah? Chanan ha-mitrihu. It's Chanan the Mitzri. The less lay dichuyin. He does not hold that this halacha of being rejected. There's no problem about if it's valid, even though for a short time it was rejected, because of in the situation that it cannot be used in the left hand or apostle, it does not reject it. If it goes back to Nira, it's capable again. It's valid. The time like learned the Braisa. Chanan HaMitzri Oyme, he says a big chiddush. He says afil adam. This refers to the karbanis on Yom Kippurim, where there were two seirim with sir hanas b'chutz and sir hanas b'fnim. And the sir la'azazel. There were these he goats that were used in the avoid of the Beis Hamikdash. Now there was a peer, the sir la'azazel and the sir hanas b'fnim, which was brought into the Kreid Shekadashim, they looked the same, they cost the same, and one went to one extreme, one was thrown off the cliff, the Azazel, to the other forces, and one was brought into the Holiest of Holies. Now, they were a pair, which means to say that they had to be brought together and then lottery to choose which one's Lashem, which one's Lazazel. So therefore, that has certain ramifications. Now, however, Chanan HaMitzri says, even if the blood of the Sar Hanasa Befnim, which that was slaughtered and the blood was thrown inside the Holiest of Holies, was Bekais in the cup, wasn't thrown yet, but it's in the cup ready to be thrown. And then its partner, the other sar, Hamishtaleach, that animal died, says Chanan HaMitzri, that does not reject the blood of the carbon of Lashem. Rather, maybe Chavere, you bring a different partner, a different sar, different higo, umezavagloi, and you peer it to make it a new one that's Lazazel, to peer it to the blood that's in the cup. And the blood that's in the cup will be valid to be thrown inside the Holiest of Holies and on by the Pareches, and this one will be sent. Now, to understand the depth of the words of Chanan HaMetzvi that he says, afilo, it's because there's actually three levels of machloikis in this halacha of dichui. There's an opinion that holds that even living animals get rejected. Like we learn in the Mishnah that says, v'imishahigral, if after the lottery, where one was chosen to be Lashem and one was chosen to be Lazazel, one of the Seirim died, there's an opinion that says, you have to bring two new animals and do a new lottery because the leftovers that were there are rejected because once one partner dies, the other one's rejected because you need to have both. Now, there is an opinion that holds that no, you could bring the other one without a lottery and because living animals do not get rejected. And the lottery is not ma'akev regarding choosing which one. You just bring a new one. But if, let's say, the blood is in the cup already and the mishtaleach, the sar lazazel, dies, then that second opinion holds. So then the blood has to be spilled out because slaughtered animals do get rejected and therefore cannot come back and be visible and near and again when you go ahead and get a new animal. And that comes Chanan HaMetzvi to say a third opinion, that even if the blood's in the cup and it's already slaughtered, doesn't reject it, you could go ahead and make a new pair, and therefore he's the Talmid of a Mishnah who holds, yeah, it is nitche when it's put onto the puzzle or put into Kli Chayil. But, however, that's not a problem because he doesn't hold that nitche is a problem. It just, it goes Chayz Menira once it goes, put it back into the right hand, into Kli Sharis, into the Kayin Kasher. That's one interpretation. Rav Ashi, he says no. He says, you don't have to say that it's like Chanan HaMetzvi. He says, because kol shebiyadei, whenever it's in the hand of the individual to rectify, to put it back into its pristine state, like the halacha of HaMishnah, where you could just give it back to the Kohen Kasher, you could just put it back in the right hand, you could just take it from the Kli Chol and put it back in the Kli Sharis, loy hava dochoy. That's not even considered rejected in the first place. In contrast, by the mishtaleach, where that's not biyadei, because who says you're going to find another sar? And since it's not necessarily immediate and in the person's control to put it back, there the halacha is where they have the machlekes that's going to be nitche. But here, everyone's going to agree there's not a problem about nitche. On that, Rav Shai says, Kavosei Rav Ashi Mistaba. Like Rav Ashi we just quoted, it's logical that he says that's not even nitche at all. Because man shamat le de'isle dechuin, who is the one that says that there is a problem about rejected? That once it's rejected, it's rejected. That's Rabbi Yehuda. It's not like Lunar Mishim Sech this Yahima that he says, V'oidam Rabbi Yehuda. Moreover, Rabbi Yehuda says, Nishpech Adam, if the blood of the animal that from the Lashem that's brought in the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur was spilled out, then Yom Mishamashtaleach, then the Sar Lazazel, which is still alive and well, has to die. Because it gets rejected, because its partner has spilled out. And you have to bring two new animals. So to the opposite, Mesa Mishtaleach, if the one that sent Lazazel dies, so Yishpech Adam, the blood has to be spilled out. Now, so we see Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that holds of dichuyin. And in spite of that, b'shamin le'da amar, we learn that he says, kol shebiyadei lo havadochei, that if it's in the hand of the person to put it right back into its nearest state, it's not even considered nitche. So therefore you could say, as we're saying, the halacha of our Mishnah, even like those who hold of dichuyin, it's not even nitche. It's not like Linda Bryce, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, by Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, after they brought all the carbon Pesachs, they would take one cupful of all the mixed blood on the floor of the Azara from all the carbon Pesachs, and they would throw one throwing of that blood, like the halacha is by carbon Pesach, we only have to do one zrika on the Mizbeach, and it would be thrown keneged hayisayid, opposite the area of the Mizbeach that has the foundation, which excludes the southeastern corner which has no yisayid, and that's what they would do. Now, the reason for this is the Gemara is going to say later on, because if what happens is the blood of one of the individuals of his Karban Pesach, because the Kohanim, there's so many people and there's a hustle muscle, every Jewish person is bringing a Karban Pesach, that maybe his blood gets spilled out. And then his Karban is not valid, because only with the Zrika it becomes valid. So maybe it's spilled on the floor. So it comes out that when they take this cupful and they get some of the blood from the floor, and now they're going to throw it in the Mizbeach, this couple then be machshir and make valid that person's Karban Pesach, because all the blood gets mixed in over there. Now, although seemingly this amount of, okay, even if let's say this one person's cupful of his carbon Pesach spilled on the floor, it gets spilled with all the other bloods that are not valid, what's called the Dama Tamas, is all the leftover blood of the animals next, that's the majority of the blood there on the floor. The Gemara tells us later on, Rabbi Yehuda goes according to his opinion, that ain't Dama Vatal Dam, that doesn't nullify, it's still viable, that blood from the carbon Pesach of this person. But one thing that we see from Yehuda is that we don't say that it got rejected when it got mixed on the floor, because on the floor, the blood of a carbon Pesach is only valid in a cup and thrown. Once it got put on the floor, it's nitche. We don't say that because he says you still take a cupful and you throw it in the Mizbeach. Obviously, why? Because it's biyadai. You could just gather it up. Obviously, we see that even like Rabbi Yehuda holds that we do hold of dichlian, but whatever's in your hand to rectify, that's not considered rejecting. You could put it right back into a cup. That's not dichli. Therefore, that answers the halacha of a mishnah, which we said, why isn't it dachli? So the first approach was, we're going like the pin that doesn't hold dachli. The other approach, Rav Ashi says, no, even if you hold dachli, it's not dachli because you can put it right back in the right hand, put it right back in the klisharis, put it right back in the yachzer kasher. And therefore, that's not considered dachli in the first place. And that's where the Mishnah said, the yachzer kasher, therefore, goes right back to the kasher kain, and they continue doing that vayda. The fact that it in the middle went to a situation that's puzzle is not even considered nitcha because it's biyadoi, lasakanu l'hachzer.